Hello, hello, hello. Hello, it's Mylanka again. And I'm continuing with Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human. The essay, Social Reform, which we began in the last episode. And today we will continue and complete it. We make mistakes, yet God makes none. We decide and act. He determines the fruit. And whatever he determines is good. He is already determining it. Men have long been troubling themselves about social reform and blameless orthodoxy. And orthodoxy has crumbled without social reform being effected. But all the time, God has been going about India, getting his work done in spite of the talking. Unknown to men, the social revolution prepares itself. And it is not in the direction they think, for it embraces the world, not only India. Whether we like it or not, he will sweep out the refuse of the Indian past and the European present. But the broom is not always sufficient. Sometimes he uses the sword in preference. It seems probable that it will be used, for the world does not mend itself quickly, and therefore it will have violently to be mended. But this is a general principle. How shall we determine the principles that are particular to the nature of the community and the nature of the age? There is such a thing as Yuga Dharma, the right institutions and modes of action for the age in which we live. Yuga Dharma. For action depends indeed on the force of knowledge or will that is to be used. But it depends, too, on the time, the place, and the vessel. Institutions that are right in one age are not right in another. Replacing social system by social system, religion by religion, civilization by civilization, God is perpetually leading man onwards to loftier and more embracing manifestations of our human perfectibility. When, in his cosmic circling movement, he establishes some stable worldwide harmony, that is man's Satya Yuga. When harmony falters, is maintained with difficulty, not in the nature of men, but by an accepted force or political instrument, that is his Treta Yuga. When the faltering becomes stumbling and the harmony has to be maintained at every step by a careful and laborious regulation, that is his Dwapara. When there is disintegration and all descends in collapse and ruin, nothing can stay farther the cataclysm, that is his Kali Yuga. This is the natural law of progress of all human ideas and institutions. It applies always in the mass, continually, though less perfectly, in the detail. One may almost say that each human religion, society, civilization has its four ages. For this movement is not only the most natural, but the most salutary. It is not a justification of pessimism, nor a gospel of dumb fate and sorrowful annihilation. It is not, as we too often think in our attachment to the form, a melancholy law of decline and the vanity of all human achievements. Now, if each satya has its kali, equally does each Kali prepare its Satya. The destruction was necessary for this creation, and the new harmony, when it is perfected, will be better than the old. But there is the weakness. There is the half success turning to failure. There is the discouragement. There is the loss of energy and faith which clouds our periods of disintegration. The apparent war, violence, ragging, tumult and trample to and fro, which attends our periods of gradual creation and half perfection. Therefore, men cry out dismally and lament that all is perishing. But if they trusted in God's love and wisdom, not preferring to it their conservative and narrow notions, they would rather cry out that all is being reborn. So much depends on time and God's immediate purpose that is really more important to seek out His purpose than to attach ourselves to our own nostrums. The Kala Purusha, Zeitgeist, and Death Spirit has risen to His dreadful work. Lokaksha Yakritpra Vridas, increasing to destroy a world. And who shall stay the terror and mightiness and irresistibility of Him? But He is not only destroying the world that was, He is creating the world that shall be. It is, therefore, more profitable for us to discover and help what He is building than to lament and hug in our arms what He is destroying. But it is not easy to discover His drift, and we often admire too much temporary erections which are merely tents for the warriors in this Kurukshetra and take them for the permanent buildings of the future. The pundits are therefore right when they make a difference between the practice of the Satya and the practice of the Kali. But in their application of this knowledge, they do not seem, to me, to be always wise or learned. They forget, or do not know, that Kali is the age for a destruction and rebirth, not for a desperate clinging to the old that can no longer be saved. They entrench themselves in the system of Kaliva Raja, but forget that it is not the weakness, but the strength of the old harmony that's being subjected to Varjanam, that is, abandonment. That which is saved is merely a temporary platform which we have erected on the banks of the sea of change, awaiting a more stable habitation. And it too must one day break down under the crash of the waves, must disappear into the engulfing waters. Has the time arrived for that destruction? We think that it has. Listen to the crash of those waters, more formidable than the noise of assault. Mark that slow, sullen, remorseless sapping. Watch pile after pile of our patched, incoherent, ramshackle structure corroding, creaking, shaking with the blows, breaking, sinking silently or with a splash, suddenly or little by little, into the yeast of those billows. Has the time arrived for a new construction? We say it has. Mark the activity, eagerness, and hurrying to and fro of mankind, the rapid prospecting, seeking, digging, founding. See the avatars and great vibhutis coming, arising thickly, treading each close behind the other. Are not these the signs? And do they not tell us that the great avatar of all arrives to establish the first Sat-Yuga of the Kali? For in the Kali too, say the secret and ancient traditions of the yogins, There is a perpetual minor repetition of Satya Trita Dwapara Kali subcycles. The sub-satya and temporary and imperfect harmony which, in the sub-treta and sub-dwapara, breaks down and disappears into the sub-kali. The process then begins over again. For each new temporary harmony is fairer and more perfect than its preceding harmony. Each new temporary collapse more resounding and terrible than its anterior dissolution. Already ended are the first 5,000 years of the Kali, which were necessary to prepare for final destruction the relics of the ancient Satya. Weakness and violence, error, ignorance, and oblivion rushing with an increasing speed and rhythm over the whole earth have done for us that work. The morning of the first Kali Satya is ready to break. The first few streaks dimly visible. So runs the not incredible tradition. Yes, a new harmony. But not the scrannel pipes of European materialism. Not an occidental foundation upon half-truths and whole falsehoods. When there is destruction, it is the form that perishes, not the spirit. For the world and its ways are forms of one truth, which appears in this material world in ever new bodies and constantly varied apparel. The inward eternal taking the joy of outward mutability. The truth of the old Satya that is dead was not different from the truth of the new Satya that is to be born. For it is truth that restores itself always and persists. In India, the chosen land, it is preserved. In the soul of India, it sleeps, expectant of that soul's awakening. The soul of India, leonine, luminous, locked on closed petals of the ancient lotus of strength and wisdom. Not in her weak, sordid, transient, and miserable externals. India alone can build the future of mankind. In India alone can the effective avatar appear to the nations. And until he appears, it is for India to gather herself up out of her dust and degradation, symbol of the shattered Satya Yuga, commune with her soul by yoga, and to know her past and her future. I have not here speculated on what we should build, what we should break, nor shall I now define my detailed opinions. But whatever it be, we must do it in the light and in the spirit of that triple principle of the divine nature. We must act in the reflection of God's love, strength, and wisdom. We are Hindus, seeking to re-Hinduize society, not to Europeanize it. But what is Hinduism? Or what is its social principle? One thing at least is certain about Hinduism, religious or social, that its whole outlook is Godward. Its whole search and business is the discovery of God and our fulfillment in God. But God is everywhere and universal. Where did Hinduism seek him? Ancient or pre-Buddhistic Hinduism sought him both in the world and outside it. It took its stand on the strength and beauty and joy of the Veda. Unlike modern or post-Buddhistic Hinduism, which is oppressed with Buddha's sense of universal sorrow and Shankara's sense of universal illusion. Shankara, who is the better able to destroy Buddhism because he was himself half a Buddhist. Ancient Hinduism aimed socially at our fulfillment in God in life. Modern Hinduism at the escape from life to God. The more modern ideal is fruitful of a noble and ascetic spirituality, but has a chilling and hostile effect on social soundness and development. Social life under its shadow stagnates for want of belief and delight, Shraddha and Ananda. If we are to make our society perfect and the nation is to live again, then we must revert to the earlier and fuller truth. We must not make life a waiting for renunciation, but renunciation a preparation for life. Instead of running from God in the town to God in the forest, we must rather plunge into the mountain solitude in our own souls for knowledge and joy and spiritual energy to sustain any part that may be given to us by the master of the Leela. If we get that strength, any society we build up must be full of the instinct of immortal life and move inevitably towards perfection. As to the precise way in which society will be reconstructed, we have hardly yet knowledge enough to solve that problem. We ought to know before we act, but we are rather eager to act violently in the light of any dim ray of knowledge that may surprise our unreflecting intellects. And although God often uses our haste for great and beneficial purposes, yet that way of doing things is not the best, either for a man or a nation. One thing seems to me clear, that the future will deny that principle of individual selfishness and collective self-interest on which European society has hitherto been based. And our renovated systems will be based on the renunciation of individual selfishness and the organization of brotherhood. Principles common to Christianity, Mohammedism, and Hinduism. Thus, episode 9, Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human, Social Reform, is completed. Next episode will be next week. Thanks so much for tuning into Oroville Radio. Adios from Marlenka.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.